Glad to see you all this morning. Just before we get started, most of you probably are aware that I have a hearing problem. And I'm trying to correct it or help it a little bit with a amplifier here. But whenever I teach, I like to have interaction with the class, and hopefully we'll be able to do that. But I might just ask that you, if you do have a question or a comment or addition or a correction or whatever, to speak loudly, otherwise I won't know what you're saying. And if I do have trouble hearing, I know Brian's in the back and he can hear everything and he's got a loud voice and he can repeat the question or the comment or whatever that would help. Why don't we have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us, for your love, for your mercy, that which you expressed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wonderful, glorious salvation that we have in him and that relationship that we have with you through faith in him. And Father, we thank you for your word and that your word teaches us about yourself and about ourselves and how we can come into a right relationship with you and spend our lives in fellowship with you. We just pray you'd guide us in that direction this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've kind of entitled this, What Should Grace Produce in Our Lives? We all appreciate grace. I know I do. I'm glad we're under grace, not under law. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, actually 8 through 10, we're very familiar with 8 and 9. But that's where I'd like to start off. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we're all very thankful for that. I praise God for it. And one of my life verses, favorite verses, or a couple verses. But oftentimes we don't go on into verse 10 where it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so if we look at verse 10 and added to verses 8 and 9 there, once we're saved, we become Christ's workmanship, or God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, we become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that, "And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Once we're saved, we become this new creation. And Christ is at work in our lives, seeking to build us and develop us into the person he wants us to be. And after we're saved, we become Christ's workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So what should grace produce? Well, that's the beginning point, I guess. Grace should produce our willingness to allow God to work in our lives, and our cooperation with him in that, as he's given us his word, and to bring about this development of this new creation. So we become Christ's workmanship, at the point of salvation, and then we that workmanship works in us as we go to 2 Timothy 2:15, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's one of the ways we can get started in this cooperation with God and allowing Him to develop this creature that He wants to develop within us and bring about Christ's workmanship in our lives. So as we look at that work, passage, I'd like to just emphasize a few words there. Number one, it takes some study. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. And as we study, that's how we become approved unto God. He approves of our studying of His Word. And He uses that study to bring about the work that He wants in us. And then we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman. Well, it kind of ties back into what Christ is working to accomplish in our lives as a new creation. His workmanship is at work in us, and He wants to produce good works. And as we study the Word of God, we can become a workman. And what kind of a workman? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And as we study this word, we do it by rightly dividing the word of truth so that we are getting the proper message as we study the word of God. And so that's the beginning point, I think, as we allow Christ to create this workmanship within us. But when we study God's word, so we can mine out of God's word treasure. We can mine treasure out of God's Word. Colossians chapter 3. I can remember which way to turn in my Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Actually, what have I got there? Yeah, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus Christ. So as we study the Word of God, we gain this full assurance of understanding of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. So as we mine out those truths from God's Word, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding and so forth are hid in the Word of God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom, and as we grow in the knowledge and understanding of God Himself. And we can begin to mine out those treasures of wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding. Proverbs 2, 1 through 7, you know, the book of Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom and Solomon, of course, was said to be the wisest man that ever lived. Proverbs chapter 2 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures." That's where my concept of mining comes from. For the Lord giveth wisdom, Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And so as we mine out these treasures from God's word, we grow in wisdom, we grow in knowledge, we grow in spiritual understanding. Now, Pastor Brian's been taking us through the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians talks about a lot about the wisdom of this world and so forth. That's not the kind of wisdom that we're seeking to mine out as we study God's Word. We don't want to become wise in our own understanding. We want to develop the treasures of godly wisdom, of wisdom that which is from above, as the book of James tells us. I don't know if I got that reference up there or not, but anyway, James chapter 3, verse 13 to 17 talks about two kinds of wisdom. Wisdom which is not of God is sensual and goes on and describes a lot of different things. We don't want that kind of wisdom. We want the wisdom that is from God Himself. And we get that from His Word as we study in His Word and mine out those truths from His Word. And so we want to grow in this wisdom, knowledge, spiritual understanding so that it, the Word of God, the wisdom that we gain from the Word of God, the knowledge we gain from the Word of God, and so forth, so that it can, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when he received the Word of God, which he heard of us, he received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so as we mine out these treasures of wisdom, knowledge, spiritual understanding from God's Word, it can begin to work effectually in us. We all want the Word of God to work effectually in us. But if we just sit home and watch TV and maybe come to church an hour a week and if that's all we ever do, we're not going to get much effectual working of the Word of God in us. Hopefully we'll get some, because Pastor Brian brings us quite a good dose on Sunday morning, but that's not going to last us all the way through. And so we need to be mining out those hidden treasures each day of each week as we go through the week. But we allow the Word of God to work effectually in us as we believe it, so that we can then, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As we allow the Word of God to work in us, and as we get into the Word of God, we're allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I don't know if you're noticing here, but as we devote ourselves to this type of involvement, connection with God through His Word, you notice how much wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding keeps coming up over and over and over. And as we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, as we go through this whole process that we've been talking about here so far, I think this is what Paul was praying about in Colossians chapter 1. starting in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." We could go on. There's a lot of great verses following there, but as we see, Paul was praying, and he put this prayer, and this one of the favorite prayers in the Word of God that I know. It tells us what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in our lives. He wrote it, He gave it to us in the Word through the pen of the Apostle Paul. He desires that we be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then to walk worthy and to be fruitful and to increase in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened in our inner man, and be giving thanks on a continuous basis. That's not going to happen unless we devote ourselves to mining out these hidden treasures from the Word of God. I know for my own self, unless I am spending time in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, my mind gets filled up with all other kinds of stuff. And sometimes, even while you're doing that, in that process, our enemy doesn't want us to be, seeking out these treasures from the Word of God and growing in the knowledge of His will and wisdom and so forth. He wants us to be under His control. He wants us to be under His influence. And so many times I'll find myself, my mind wandering, and beginning to think about other things. Beginning to think about things that are not edifying, things that are not pleasing to the Lord and so forth. But then when I catch myself in that, I just ask the Lord to bring my thoughts back into line with His Word. But if we don't know His Word, if we don't have that, if we aren't in it and studying it and memorizing it and building it into our lives, we don't have the resource to come back unless we open it up and begin to search out again. But we don't have the resource during the course of a day to come back into that mindset. Because, we're all out and about from day to day, and we don't just spend all of our time just sitting at home reading the scriptures. We're out doing things, but still, while we're out doing things, where should our mind be? It should be focused on that spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, the wisdom and knowledge of God and so forth. So I believe that as we go through this process, it helps us to have that prayer be answered in our lives, that we be filled with the knowledge of His Word and so forth, the knowledge of His will. So then as we do that, and as we become filled with the knowledge of His will and spiritual understanding and so forth, then we can, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where it says, As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with all thanksgiving. And then 9 and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so as we are growing in the knowledge of his will, in wisdom, spiritual understanding, etc., we are being rooted, we are being built up, we are being established in the faith, we are being strengthened in the faith, and we are, I know at the point of salvation we already are complete in Christ, but we're realizing that completeness, that position of being complete on a more regular basis. In other words, we're understanding it as we live from day to day. We're understanding our completeness in Christ, and we'll be abounding with thanksgiving. Philippians talks about do all things without murmurings and disputings. A lot of times, even as Christians, we like to complain a lot, right? Where I work, we used to have this gal that worked there that what we do at my work, I'm a driver, I'm a courier, so what we do is we meet and then we go out to on our different routes and then we come back in the evening and finish up. But they had this one gal that every night when she'd come back, or in the afternoon before she'd leave on her route, she'd be complaining about something. Not spiritual things, but because she wasn't a spiritual person, but complaining about something having to do with one of her clients or one of her route, something on her route or something. And always complaining. And one day I just made a comment to somebody else, you know, if Sue didn't have something to complain about, she'd complain about not having something to complain about. You know, but a lot of times we find ourselves that way, even as believers. We like to complain a lot. But we should be abounding with thanksgiving. And then as we're being rooted, built up, established, abounding with thanksgiving and so forth, then we can be, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. But as we allow the Word of God to work effectually in us through this process that we're talking about here, we become filled with the Spirit. We're not going to just become filled with the Spirit just by sitting around home doing nothing and then asking God to fill us with the Spirit. It says back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And the way to become filled with the Spirit is to become filled with the Word of God, letting the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. And I always thought in both of those passages, Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5 here, where it says, speaking yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I always thought, well, that's kind of just a tag on, you know, the singing part. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord part. But the more I engage myself in this process, the more there is a melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm not a singer, But we can all give praise to God within our spirit, right? And that's, I'm glad it says in your heart to the Lord. You don't have to necessarily do it verbally to make it beneficial. Anyway, when we're filled with the Spirit, then we can, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's kind of hard to walk in the Spirit if we're not filled with the Spirit. You know, we all want to have victory over the flesh. But if we're the way this verse says to have victory over the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're probably not going to have victory over the flesh. And as the passage goes on there, the works of the flesh aren't too nice to think of being involved in, right? So, but if we're filled with the Spirit, then we can walk in the Spirit. And therefore, if we're walking in the Spirit, then we can manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lusts and affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, a few years ago I went through a process here when I was having some problems, and I was having problems with anger because of the things that were going on. I was having some problems with anger, and I was having some problems with developing, I could sense myself developing a spirit of bitterness within me. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That sounds like, the first part of that sounds like the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. The last part about it, verse 25, is where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit coming back into being. But when I was in this thing I was in a few years ago, I had to let this passage here, Ephesians chapter 4, become an integral part of my life in order to put this anger and bitterness and so forth out of me. And I developed a little habit. I would go for walks. As I was walking, I would walk in cadence. I would speak to myself in cadence as I was walking, and I would use these words: "Do not give in to anger; replace it with kindness." I keep repeating that: "Do not give in to anger; replace it with kindness." Do not while I'm walking along in cadence, and then I would also say, Do not give in to bitterness, replace it with forgiveness. Do not give in to bitterness, replace it with forgiveness. Well, I found that that really implanted those concepts into my heart and mind. It became an integral part of me. And over a process of time, I was able to put away that anger, put away that bitterness, and walk in kindness and walk in forgiveness. But that's how the Word of God can work effectually in us as we believe it and put it into practice in our lives. And then as we're filled with as we're walking, or as we're producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we can recognize that in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Most of us have probably known that verse since we were kids in Sunday school. But we need to, Romans chapter 6 talks about, we need to reckon it to be so. We need to claim it by faith that we are crucified with Christ. Our old man has been nailed to the cross. Old Adam is dead as far as we are concerned. Our flesh is crucified with Christ, but Christ lives in me. And living out his life through me as a day-to-day reality. That's what I want. I want Christ. I ask him every day to live out his life through me. Brian has a thing he says from time to time. What would Dave look like today how do you say it, Brian? What would Jesus look like today if he was living his life through Dave? Yeah. I think that's how you say it. That's what I want. I mean, I want people to see Christ in my life. I want to manifest Christ in my life. I think we should all desire to manifest Christ in our lives as we live out our life on a day-to-day experience. Brian, maybe you could answer a question for me. A lot of times you say, talk about things being affecting the details of our lives. What are you referring to specifically when you say the details of our lives?
Talking about how you relate with your
family, kids, things,
your wife, your spouse, your coworkers, your,
in other words, things that we do on a day-to-day basis, right?
If your car breaks down, what's your reaction?
All good.
But most of us have jobs, go to work every day, and we have families, we have neighbors, you know, we have encounters at grocery stores and different places. And as we go about carrying out our day-to-day activities in all those areas of life, hopefully it's Christ living his life through us and not our flesh, because we're not in church or we're not in a meeting someplace. Hopefully it's not, hopefully we're not reverting back to our flesh in our day-to-day living. Hopefully it's, we're allowing Christ to live and manifest His life through us in a tangible way. And then, I don't know if I've got it in your notes I handed out to you, but Psalm 119 verses 9 through 11 talks about not only reading and studying the Word of God, but memorizing it. His wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I'm very thankful that I was brought up in a home. My father taught Sunday school continuously for 52 years. At the end of his life, he was recognized by our church for 52 years of continuous faithfulness in teaching Sunday school. And most of the time he taught a young adult class. I guess you'd call it maybe college age class. But one of his major emphasis was on memorizing the Word of God. And he had everybody to memorize Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:1, Romans 8:1, Romans 12:1-2. Those are ones I remember in particular that he had everybody memorize. But I'm thankful for that because it gave me a commitment and a desire to memorize God's Word. And I wish I knew a lot more of it, but I have a pretty good reservoir in my mind and in my heart. And God can use that. God uses that as we go through our day-to-day activities. I don't drive down the road usually with a Bible open in front of me. But when somebody cuts me off on the highway, I've got a choice. Do I respond in the flesh or do I respond in the spirit? And if I don't have a reservoir of God's Word to draw upon to respond properly, I'm probably going to respond in the flesh. And I do that on occasion. I want but I don't like it when I do it. But anyway, hiding God's Word in our heart, also memorizing it, also is a aspect of this whole process. These references that I have up here would be a great, I believe, reservoir for us to commit to memory and to draw upon as we go from day to day. But as we study and as we read and as we apply and as we memorize, then we can meditate on these things. We can meditate on the Word of God. I find a lot of meditation has some disadvantages. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I start thinking about a passage of Scripture, and it may lead me to another passage of Scripture in my mind. I don't get up necessarily, but my mind gets to working. Brian must have this, but with all the studying you do, you must have this. But I wake up in the middle of the night and you get to thinking and meditating on the Word of God and you lose sleep. That's the disadvantage. I said there's a disadvantage is that you lose sleep sometimes. But it's a blessed time with the Lord, you know. Those nighttime hours of meditation can be a real blessed time with the Lord. But by having it in our hearts and minds, we can meditate on it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. When I'm standing up here, I forget which direction to turn my Bible sometimes. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Starting with verse 13, and I give thee charge in the sight of God. I'm in the wrong chapter. Didn't think that looked right. Okay, verse 13 of chapter 4. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Look at 16 too. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But it's hard to meditate on the Word of God if we don't spend any time in it. If we don't have some of it memorized. We don't study it. If we don't read it. Timothy says here, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But day and night, meditate. You know, again, I guess I'm fortunate. On my job, I mentioned to you that we courier drive. We spend time on the road. I spend about 7 hours a day, 7-8 hours a day driving, and making occasional stops and so forth, of course. But I'm alone in the car, and that's a lot of great meditation time, thinking time, meditating time. No, I will admit that I like to listen to a Tigers baseball game if it's on the radio or something like that. But when there's nothing good on the worth listening to on the radio, a lot of good opportunity and time for meditating. I carry a little New Testament with me and pocket New Testament, and sometimes I'll get to meditating, and when I make a stop, I'll flip over and check things out a little bit, you know, make sure I'm thinking correctly as I'm meditating. But maybe it'll bring some other thought into my mind, and I'll want to look that up when I stop. But anyway, also Psalm chapter 1 verse 2. Talking about the blessed man walking in the counsel, not in the counsel of the ungodly and so forth. Verse 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There, that day and night comes up again. You know, If we have it in our heart and mind, the Lord can bring it to us at any time. Anytime He sees as profitable, as necessary, as appropriate in our lives at that time. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, I'm pretty sure if the meditation of our heart is the Word of God, it's going to be acceptable in His sight, aren't you? And hopefully, as we're meditating upon the Word of God, and we have that fresh in our hearts and minds, the words of our mouth are going to be acceptable in His sight too. If I find myself, you know, I mentioned to you, I don't meditate all the time while I'm driving. Sometimes I'll be listening to a baseball game or maybe a talk show or something on the radio, and that input doesn't always necessarily edify. And if my mind's on something that's going on a talk show, especially if it's politically involved, and somebody cuts me off, the words of my mouth might be different than if I was meditating on Scripture, right? They kind of go together, the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart. Psalm 63:6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. That's where I said the disadvantage of losing sleep comes in. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And then Psalm 119 verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And I think we know that when the psalmist is talking about the law here, he's talking about the entire Word of God. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments or, you know, the Old Testament law, things like that. And then last one on this thought of meditation here, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. The Word of God fits all those descriptions. Right? The Word of God is true. It's honest. It's just. It's pure. It's lovely. Certainly is of good report. Filled with virtue. Worthy of all praise. Think on those things. And then as we go through this process, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I think be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Got another little saying that I came up with that's the The Bible solution for mind pollution is mind transformation through scripture meditation. But we can have our minds transformed as we meditate and go forth and study the Word of God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 2, excuse me. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Christ, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's one of the things I love, and a lot of things I love about the Word of God, but one of the things I really love about the Word of God is that it teaches itself. Have you noticed that, Brian, that the Word of God teaches itself? You know, as you go through and follow a thought pattern, precept upon precept, line upon line, and so forth, the Word of God teaches itself. And comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's kind of what we've been doing, I think, here as we go through this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As we let this Word of God dwell in us richly, as we meditate on these things, as we study and build the Word of God into our hearts and minds, we have the mind of Christ. When we're thinking and meditating upon the Word of God, we have the mind of Christ. And then Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we're meditating on the Word of God, if our mind is interacting with the Word of God on a regular, continuous basis throughout the day and the details of our lives, where's our affection going to be? It's not going to be set on things on this earth. It's going to be set on things that are above. You've all probably heard the old saying, "So-and-so is more so heavenly minded. He's no earthly good." Well, the guy. Really, it's reverse. The person who's so earthly minded isn't either heavenly or earthly good. You know, I mean, if all we think about is carnal things that apply to this earthly life, our spiritual life is not going to be very effective in the lives of other people. But as we devote ourselves to the Word of God, we can have our affections set on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. And then as we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we can live out the grace of God as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. How much time we got? 2 minutes. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Todd talked about this last Sunday morning. But as we're living out the grace of God as a living sacrifice, that can take place as we go through this. And then Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Kind of hurrying here because the time's running out. But Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The grace of God, I began, what should grace produce in us? What should grace produce in us? So, well, as we live out the grace of God, we should be living out the grace of God as a living sacrifice. We should be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and so forth. And then chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so we see as we kind of have come around to a circle, come back to now to Ephesians chapter 2, verses